Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 160, Making Disciples in the Post-COVID Era, Part 4. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message for the New Wine in New Wineskins series on November 22nd, 2020.
Praise the Lord. As you give your offerings this morning, we're just grateful and thankful for God's goodness. He's been really, really good to us for lots of years. So praise the Lord. If you live long enough, you can just tell all kinds of stories. But there you go, young guy. Don't miss me. Praise the Lord. I want my seed not to go in. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Pastor Karen and I are really grateful for all of those who have congratulated us, those who have wished us well on our 50th anniversary.
Yes.
And we're so, we had a really, really great time. We're sorry that we ended up canceling the event that we had for last night. But when we were making those decisions, we had people coming from other countries and from out of state and so forth and so on. And so just to be fair to them, you know, we always believe God and trust God and all of those things, but we just felt like we needed to cancel the event and maybe reschedule it for some later date or something. We'll see about that. But anyway, we're well. We're doing good, as
praise
you can see.
Yeah,
praise the Lord. God is great. He's our healer.
Yes, he's always faithful.
He's the glory and the lifter of
yes.
your head.
Yes,
yes. So there's life after COVID and any other kinds of things that might get thrown your way. God is awesome. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So anyway, I just wanted to say thanks. Throw a party. That was good. Brought back some memories, you know. When you're in the middle of that kind of stuff, you know, it just like feels like so much pressure and so much oppression against you. But if you do the right thing and you stick with faith and stick with the Word of God, and you know, the Bible says that He gives you authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Amen.
He really meant that. And if you'll stand fast and just praise Him and worship Him and put Him first in your life, you'll come out the other side with victory every time. I mean, you won't be disappointed. Some people say, well, you know, maybe works for preachers, maybe works for this, maybe works for that. It works for everybody who works it. Amen?
Amen.
But you have to be engaged. And yes, there'll be some times when it looks like it's the impossible, looks like it's not going to work and all of that stuff, and the devil sits on your shoulder and just whispers in your ear and reinforces all of those negative thoughts and all of those kind of things. But we can attest that God is faithful.
Right.
So
yeah.
Thanks for sticking with me for 50.
You're welcome.
God bless you. Hallelujah. So sometimes all of those kinds of things get tested,
yes.
including relationships and going through hard stuff. You know, it's just kind of tests what's on the inside of you. And you have to make a decision, you know, are you going to stay with God? Are you going to go for it? Or are you going to do something else? You know, if you do something else, then you have to start over again sometime. And starting over is never fun. We've known a lot of people that have started over and over and over and over. And you feel for them, you reach out to them, and you try to encourage them. Do the right thing. Stay with God. Keep Him first. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all the other things will be added to you. Amen? Praise the Lord. So today we're continuing with our series on new wine and new wineskins. And I want to speak to you for a few minutes about that. The title of our message, again, is just a continuation of the other parts that we did on making disciples in post-COVID era. So you say, well, you're not, I mean, COVID era isn't over and all that. It's only over for you if you make it over.
Right.
Amen. So you have to make a decision, you know, pretty soon we got to be out of this thing. We're going to be over it or we're going to be in it. So I've just made a decision. We're over it.
Amen.
And,
I agree. Glory.
If you want to follow us along in that, you can do that. If you choose some other route, you know, okay, it's okay. We're not mad at you. We're not we're not out of sorts with you. You can stay in your basement, put on your mask, and do all of those things, you know, that the little gods from CDC want you to do. Someday you're going to have to come out of your basement because you're going to need groceries. And at Meijer and at Kroger and all those other places, they may have some requirements and whatever, and you can do whatever you want to about whatever they say and so forth and so on. I think God is over this. I think you can be over this.
Yes.
And I think we can walk in victory. Amen?
Yes,
amen. I believe that. Praise the Lord. So I'm expressing my opinions. I'm expressing my faith. And I just think enough is enough and it's time. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Praise the Lord. So why do we need to listen to this morning? We've been talking through the book of Colossians. And Colossians 1 verse 2 says, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, that's a good place to be. A good place to be is in His grace and filled with His peace. You know, the Bible says that His peace will surpass understanding, will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And there's no better place to be than in the peace of God.
Yes.
Jesus could lay down His head in the middle of a storm, when the boat is sinking and the disciples are bailing water and complaining because He's back there sleeping in the back of the boat, but He was at peace.
Yes.
And when He stood up and spoke to the winds and the waves, what did He say? He said, "Shalom, peace, be still." And it was. So He came from a place of peace and rest and spoke in faith and stilled the storm. So whatever storms you're facing in life today, whether it's COVID stuff or whether it's some other things related or unrelated, Jesus has peace for you. And He has a lot of grace for you, thankfully.
Amen.
Thankfully, He's had grace for all of us because His grace is sufficient for you. His power, the Bible says, is made perfect in your weakness. So I want to encourage you today. You know, this, you can be down and be depressed. You know, I hate snow, but everybody else loves it, so... Bless you, snow lovers. I'm headed for Cuba. You know, whatever you say, it's going to be sand and sea and wind. But, you know, the rest of you can stay in the snow and, you know, you can go sledding, skating, and do all those things that you love to do and get your snowmobile out, you know, whatever it is. Just love it to the end. Go up to Michigan. There's more up there. Bless you, Michiganders that are watching us today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So anyway, grace and peace are a little bit in a short supply during these times, but you know, you don't have to follow the trends. You can just, you know, have your own party and have your own grace and peace, you know, just in the middle of whatever's going on, and Jesus will help you through it. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that's the reason why we need to listen to this about Galatians. Before I get into that just a little bit, I want to address the COVID part. You know, as we're saying, making disciples in the post-COVID era. So there is some things about COVID. So unfortunately, in our nation and other nations, there are many for years who have supported really the wickedness of the Democrats, the progressives, the socialists, and other groups whose main heroine or little god or whatever it is seems to be the racist Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. Now, she was a racist lady that wanted to exterminate other races and minorities and so forth and so on. And they don't often talk about that very much, but their main agenda for our era is killing unborn babies, the murder of the unborn through abortion at these Planned Parenthood clinics and so forth and so on, and supporting that agenda. So it's even codified, you know, the codified murder of the unborn in their agenda and their political platforms. Really, it's an abomination to God. That's what God calls that, an abomination, something that's really, really detestable to Him. So I'm going to speak to that for just a little bit because it really is likened to the idolatrous sacrifice of children that happened in the days of the Israelites when the Canaanites would sacrifice their children to the god Molech. They would actually throw them into the fire on the altar, beating drums to beat out the cries of the children so that nobody could hear them, so that they could murder these children and sacrifice them to their god Molech. That's not very pleasant, a pleasant thought. And I know we have children in the service today, and I'm not trying to scare or to just to put terror into them, but it's awful, and it's an abomination to God, and it's detestable. And I think it needs to be really addressed, because our nation could get worse instead of better. It doesn't have to. And it's dependent upon what believers do, how they respond to this, and how they stand in faith, and how we believe God together for change in our nation and change in the nations. Because we can have a mighty revival, a mighty renewal of the Spirit of God sweeping across this land that sets people free from darkness, brings them into the glorious light of the gospel. They can be delivered from the power of Satan and come to the power of God. They can receive forgiveness of sins. They can receive an inheritance with those who are sanctified through faith in Jesus. But it's only going to happen if we engage in faith and stand against the onslaught of the enemy and all of the devices and evil that he's designed. But because this has gone on for years and years and years, and many people have supported it, maybe you came from a background where, I came from a family, everybody was a Democrat. My grandfather was a Democrat, my father was a Democrat, and some of the biggest arguments I had with my father were over socialism and some of those other kinds of things. Bless his departed soul. And I never won any of the arguments, but he said, well, there were reasons, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there's no reason to side against the Word of God. It doesn't matter, whatever you think is what you think, whatever you try to believe, or whatever philosophy you espouse, whatever philosophy you endorse, that's certainly your business. And if you can say that you're a believer and you support these people that do these things, I'm sorry, that's the wrong way to go. It's against the Bible, it's against the Word of God, and it doesn't add up to blessing in a nation. The murder of kids, the murder of people, does not add up to blessing in anyone's book. But the reality is that when you sow the wind, the Bible says, you reap the whirlwind. And maybe what we're facing today with the political climate and with all the stuff that's going on in our nation and the nations around us has to do with reaping the whirlwind. Because when you sow seeds like that, there's a payback. And I know God is good and He has mercy and all those kinds of things, and He's given us years to make these changes. But think about how many years, 60 million unborn children slaughtered over these years while we've been waiting for our government to do something about it, while we've been waiting for our politicians to stand up and be counted for God, while we've been praying and so forth and so on. I'm not saying give up. I'm not saying it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. All things are possible to him that believes. But if we don't address it in faith and we don't pray according to the Word of God, this kind of thing will never stop. And it's wicked. And if it gets worse, there are worse things down the road for believers. There's worse things down the road for the people who live in our nation. So this cannot bring blessing to our nation. So, yes, we might be reaping the whirlwind, but and Psalm 91 says this. He says, when you see these things, you will look and you will see the recompense of the wicked. So when payback starts to happen in a nation, in a family, in a city, and so forth and so on, you can see that it's payback time. Now, I know all of us have done stuff that we've regretted. All of us, have been engaged in some activities that were wrong. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I'm not preaching condemnation to you. If you've repented of your sins, God has forgiven you. He's put it in your past. And there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. So don't get under condemnation if you've been engaged or supported some of this stuff, or just, somehow you got sidetracked and blindsided or whatever. God has grace for you. He has forgiveness for you. He has love for you. And if you put it under the blood of Jesus, it's gone. Amen. It's gone forever. So you can walk free from that. You don't have to walk under that. But also in Psalm 91, this is what it says for followers of Christ. It says, 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 can fall at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. So you can choose to believe that, or you can choose not to believe that. But I'm choosing to believe that, and as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, some stuff is going down. Some people are falling around us. But the Bible says it doesn't have to come near you.
Amen.
It says, no evil shall befall you, and no plague, including COVID, shall come near your dwelling.
Amen.
So if you let the gate down and it came in, that's Pastor Karen and I maybe let the gate down and it came in, get over it. Because Jesus is the healer.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
If it's something you did or didn't do, if it's just an attack of the enemy, whatever it is, just recognize it for what it is.
Yes.
Get up, dust yourself off, pick up your Bible, pick up the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Hallelujah.
There isn't any other way to live for a Christian, for a believer.
Right.
That's the only way to live. And if you want to take some other position, God bless you. I'm not going to fight with you. I'm not going to fuss with you. But there is a way out of this thing.
Yes, yes.
And the way out is to follow the Word of God, to believe the Word of God, to stand in faith and to fight back.
Amen.
If we don't fight back and we get something that we don't want, it's our fault. It's not God's fault. It's not His will. It's not His perfect will for our nation. It's not His perfect will for us. But if we have to take the consequences of inaction and inactivity and church going to sleep or whatever it is, then it falls back on us. Mm-hmm. And we and our children will have to pay the price and fight back and get out of the thing some way. Praise the Lord. Or else lay down our lives for it, one of the two, which may happen as well. So what do you do when bad news comes? Well, Mark chapter 5:35 has some really great advice. You know, this is a father whose daughter was dying, and he came to Jesus and for help. This is what transpired. This is while he was speaking, you know, because there was an interruption there, which we won't go into. Some came from the rulers of the synagogue's house and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" And just look at verse 36 for a second. It says, as soon as, just think about that for a second. As soon as Jesus heard this, I mean, Jesus, you know, he just doesn't mess around with stuff. He dealt with things head on. He spoke to things directly. It says, as soon as he heard this, as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, this negative report, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Now just think about that for a second. The guy just lost his daughter, the one who potentially Jesus could save from dying, the one who potentially Jesus could heal from this sickness. And now everything is blown, everything's done. Despair, woe is me, could set in. Depression, fear, anger, bitterness, resentment against the little woman who came and touched the clothing of Jesus and stopped him from getting there. I mean, lots of stuff could be going on the head of this father, but as soon as Jesus heard this negative report, he turned to the man and said, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what kind of struggles you might be going through. I'm not presupposing that you are, but lots of people are going through some stuff. So Jesus is looking you in the eye. He's eyeball to eyeball with you, nose to nose with you, toe to toe with you, and he's saying, "Don't be afraid.
Amen.
Only believe. Just believe.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just believe me. Just trust me. Just trust me. Just trust me. In the middle of your deal, just trust me. Because in the end, Jesus is bigger than any problem you can ever cook up. And you know what? He's probably not surprised you're in the situation that you're in. Because he knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. So don't be afraid. Just believe. And if you're struggling with that, don't struggle with it anymore, because faith isn't about a struggle. Faith is about engaging with the one who loves you and gave himself for you. The Bible says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me and gave himself for me. So the reality is when your faith runs out and Jesus is living inside of you, there's some more faith to kick in. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So I want to encourage you today. Whatever challenge you're facing, you know, whatever kinds of things you think need to change and aren't changing fast enough, and all of the business and the symptoms are here. The doctor said this. The banker said that. The bad news in the mail was this. Whatever the case. The family blew up just after you were trusting God. I don't know what it is. Whatever's going on. Jesus is bigger.
Amen.
Jesus is greater. And for you, 1,000 can fall at your side, 10,000 can fall at your right hand, but it'll not come near you. Only with your eyes will you look and see the reward of the wicked.
Yes.
I'm sorry for the wicked. I'm sorry that they've taken that path. I pray that they'll change the path that they're taking. I believe that God wants to do a great thing in our nations. I've heard prophecies of people saying, you know, that even from many denominational churches who have long ago abandoned faith, abandoned the Word of God, abandoned lots of the principles of the Bible. I've heard many prophecies of people saying that those people are going to start flocking into the churches. They're going to start really committing themselves to God. They're hungry for some reality of spiritual things. They're hungry for spiritual life. They're done with New Age philosophy and idolatry and ideologies and all of those kind of things because it hasn't helped them.
Right.
And now they're coming back to God. So let's believe God together for that. Amen?
Yes, amen.
I mean, I'm not against churches. I'm not against denominations and all of those kind of things. You know, they all had their roots in the Word of God and so forth and so on. And some of them have long-standing stuff going on. But you know what? You can get engaged in all the politics of all of that, and you can try to be the religious police, but it's better just to be someone who's a follower of Christ, a follower of Jesus. Just love people, and if they want to come to God, just feed them.
Yes.
If they're a little bit on the wrong track, just keep feeding them. Just keep talking to them. Keep ministering into their lives, and let God do something great in their lives. Amen?
Amen.
God was bigger than your mess when you came to him, so he if somebody's in a mess, let him sort it out and forget the religious police. Let the Muslims do that, you know? I mean, if they want to do that, I mean, it's terrible, some of those things. But anyway, praise the Lord. Now I'm meddling a little bit. But just take Jesus' advice and handle the evil report this way. Do not be afraid, only believe. And then, okay, I just want to address one other thing, the masking issue, the mad masking issue. Of course, there isn't any mask. There's no mask. To mask or not to mask, it's everybody's choice. If you want a mask, you can wear it in here. You can wear it anywhere you want to wear it. You can wear it in public. You can wear it in your car, and you can wear it in your basement. And you can wear it at bed when you go to bed at night if you want. It's everybody's choice to make as they hear from God. I mean, if you've heard from God, he said, wear a mask, you know, far be it from me to say, don't wear a mask, okay? Because if he said it to you and you know that it's his voice, the Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger, they'll not follow. If it's the voice of God, just do what he said. Amen? Mm-hmm. And don't worry about what other people think or don't think, because they're probably not thinking about you anyway. They're thinking about their own deal. But the reality is this. This is opinion. This is not the Word of God. This is opinion. Reality is that no mask will protect you or others around you if God doesn't protect you.
That's correct.
If he's not protecting you, you're just not protected.
True.
Amen? So, I mean, you have to decide either Psalm 91 works for you or it doesn't work for you. And if you decide it works for you, then it's working for you whether you wear a mask or don't wear a mask. Amen? So the reality is that the mask mandate has not made the numbers go down. Anybody a witness to that? I mean, in some of the places that have had the strictest of all of this stuff going on, the numbers are going up.
Yes.
Okay? So it's pretty, seems obvious to me. Maybe, you know, I'm not the medical expert and all that stuff, but it seems obvious to me that there's some faulty logic in this thing. Mm-hmm. So it seems to me, this is an opinion, that it's basically a political smokescreen and a CYA for politicians who don't know what to do. Or maybe they know what to do, and maybe they know what they're doing, and maybe they just want to control your life. Now, that's my opinion. You can take that or you can leave that. But I don't believe it's something from God, and I believe in many respects it's aimed against churches. It's aimed against the church family coming together. It's aimed against crushing dissent. It's aimed against a lot of things that our Constitution says that we have freedom in. Freedom of speech, expression, religion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So without saying really too much more about that, it's just, I mean, so we have all of the mandates and so forth. And when it doesn't work, then these politicians and others, they can blame the models. They can blame the scientists, while they claim in their place as little gods that they've done everything they could do to help protect you, help protect the citizens. That's how I see it. You can disagree with that, and I won't be mad at you. Praise the Lord. So what happens when they turn up the heat? Because likely, if you're bucking the system, you're going cross-grain, generally the temperatures rise. So there's a story in the Bible about that. It's found in Daniel chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, confronting three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in Daniel chapter 3:15, he said, "Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image I have made, good. But if you do not, worship, you will be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Who is that God? Listen to their reply. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." There's a time to speak, and there's a time to be silent. They said, verse 17, "If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand." Statement of faith, right? Remember, the fire is real. The furnace is real. They can see the flames. It's hot, and the music is starting to play. "He will deliver us from your hand, O king." Verse 18. "But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up."
Amen.
That's what you do when they turn the heat up.
Yes.
They may be heating the furnace 7 times hotter, but if we refuse to bow, we will not burn. So, Pastor Karen and I might have let the gate down for the devil to come in, but we can attest that there's life after COVID. After the COVID demons leave, there's life. Abundant life. And God is good.
Amen.
So, we've been teaching and speaking on how do we carry on the mandate that Jesus has given us in the middle of all his problems and troubles and situations? Because he said, go make disciples of all nations. Now, a lot of our missionary activity overseas in Cuba and Israel and different places has been curtailed because you can't even travel to some of those places. And some of those places are beginning to open up, and if you're willing to stay for 14 days and hibernate in a hotel of the government's choice and so forth and so on, at your expense, you can still go to some of those places, and then when you get out of there, then you can do some things. Some are opening up a little more and letting the curtain down and so forth and so on, because their industry has been destroyed, their economy has been destroyed, and they would love for tourists to come in and spend some money or do something, you know, even if they don't like what you're doing. So how do you navigate the rocks and the river in the middle of all this nonsense? So we've been studying the book of Colossians. Pastor Don had a segment of it. I had a segment of it. Pastor Don had a segment of it. And Sarah had a segment of it. So we are now to Colossians chapter 3. And Paul gives us some really, really great counsel in the book of Colossians about this. How to navigate in difficult times. The theme for today, of course, is new wine and new wineskins. So we're not trying to invent something new, but neither are we trying to just say, well, church has always been like this. We always do things like this. And we're just going to keep doing things like this. Because, even in Old Testament times, when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt and going to the Promised Land, they had to watch for where the cloud was moving. You know, the cloud is representative of God. It was the glory of God. It was a cloud by day, and it was fire by night. So it was air conditioning in the desert during the day, and it was a furnace at night. You know, it kept them warm at night in the desert, because it gets really, really cold in the desert. I've traveled in that desert from Cairo to the border of Israel some years ago, and I can attest. At night, it gets freezing cold. One night we slept by the Mediterranean Sea in El Arish, which is now it's really part of Egypt, because they, or part of Gaza, they gave back all of that land to the Palestinians and the Egyptians and so forth. But I spent the night on the beach, and so we took turns sitting in a little car together in 1980. So that's like a lot of years ago. But we took turns sitting in the car just to stay warm. And then, because it was a little car, you know, you're just breathing everybody else's stuff, you know. And it was like a little tiny car with an Egyptian driver and stuff. And so they took us to this hotel. It was a crazy hotel. I mean, it smelled like urine. It smelled terrible. It smelled like disinfectant. But, I mean, it was just like overwhelming. We said, we are not staying in that place. You know, we're just like, we'll take our chances on the beach. But when some were sleeping in the car, the rest of us had to guard, because they're bandits and there's all kinds of other things in the Sinai Desert. So, I mean, you just you have to kind of keep your eyes open and so forth. But God protected us and all of that, and ended up we couldn't drive into Israel, because we got there just a little bit too late, because we got there after Shabbat had settled, and so we were stuck. We had to turn around and go back to Cairo, but we couldn't go back to Cairo at night, because that was even more dangerous than staying on the beach. But getting back to the story is that, you know, in the Israel, when Israel was coming from Egypt, they were traveling through this area, and they had the same perils, really would have had the same perils, except there were 3 million of them. But the fire kept them warm at night, and kept the cloud kept them cool in the day. But the point I want to make is that they had to follow the fire and the cloud. So when the cloud stopped or the fire stopped, they stopped. And they made camp there. And they didn't move again until the cloud began to move. So what was God teaching them? He's saying, follow me. I'm going to lead you through this. And yes, they took some detours. They should have gotten there in 2 weeks. It took them 40 years. But the cloud never left them, and the fire never left them. And they had 40 years to learn what the presence of God was about. They had 40 years to listen to God, to begin to see, this is how God works. This is what He does. This is how He provides for us. He gives manna in the morning. He gives us water to drink, sometimes out of rocks. I mean, He's like amazing. Amen. But the Bible said that generation didn't enter because of two things: their hardness of heart and their unbelief. So today, when we're navigating the rocks and the river, it's the same things that will keep us out of the promise of God: hardness of heart and unbelief. So you have to decide where you're going to be. in this thing. You have to make a decision, and you have to engage, because you're the only one that can prevent the blessing of God and the promise of God from coming to pass in your life. The Bible says that nothing can separate you from the love of God, not angels, principalities, devils, people, nothing can separate you from the love of God. But you can separate yourself from the love of God. So it's a choice. In the middle of the hardship, are you going to love Him? In the middle of the hardship, are you going to seek Him? In the middle of the hardship, are you going to go with Him? Are you going to do it His way? Are you going to hear His voice? Are you going to follow the cloud and the fire? Or are you going to follow your emotions? Your emotions are pretty upside down sometimes, you know. Sometimes we have that time of the month. Sometimes we have that time of the year. Sometimes we have... Sometimes we got stuff going on, you know. Life goes on and you have these challenges and you have to deal with your emotions. You have to deal with your will. But you can choose to follow God.
Amen.
You can choose to follow the cloud. You can choose to hear His voice and not follow the voice of the stranger. I mean, it's a choice. Amen?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm meddling with you this morning. You know, I'm trying to speak to you from my heart. I've got some notes here. But I want to see you succeed.
Amen.
I want to see you come out of this on top. I don't care what's going on. I mean, I do care what's going on around us. But irrespective of what's going on around us, I want to see you walking out of this thing tall, strong, in victory, and knowing that you're following Jesus all the way.
Yes, amen.
You might have to take some hits. I mean, you might have to take the heat. You know, they say if you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen. But I recommend staying in the kitchen, whether the heat's turned up or not. Amen? Praise the Lord. So Colossians chapter 3, we want to cover this morning just in a few moments here coming up. Colossians chapter 3 is really, really a great chapter. Let's read 3 through 11. It talks about not being carnal, but in Christ. If you then have been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. This is verse 3. Where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, set your minds on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, then Christ who is our life appears, then when Christ who is our life appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Isn't that great? Just encouraging. Verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming on the sons of disobedience. So there's the dividing place between the believers and the followers of Christ and those who are not. Verse 7 says, in which you yourselves once also walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. So that last part, just looking at verse 11 first, that last part where it's talking about no Jew or Greek or uncircumcised or whatever, what it's saying is God is impartial. You may be different than other people. You may have had a different background, grew up differently, had different surroundings, different environment, different teachings, different religions, whatever. But to God, there isn't any partiality. We're all on the equal level playing field of being free, where Christ is all in all to us. Amen? So irrespective of where you came from, who you were, and all your family background and all of that stuff, it's in the past. You've come to Jesus. It's under the blood of Jesus. You're a new creation. All things have become new. All the old has passed away. And thankfully, we can walk in the things of God. Amen? So, but about this other part, this first part about not being carnal. There's three things, three major things that I see in this. There's probably other things, but this is really what I want to focus on. Is you have to do, the first thing is set your mind. You have to know where you're going to put your mind. Because that's going to be the biggest battleground that you face. Amen? set your mind where? On the things above, not on the things of the earth. Okay, so we've got all this stuff going on around us. You have a choice. Are you going to think about all the stuff going on around you, or are you going to set your mind on the things above? You say, well, you know, that's easy for you to say. I understand that. But that's why you have weapons of your warfare. You can read about them in Ephesians. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the gospel, the preparation of peace, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, all of those things. Amen? And praying with every kind of prayer. All those weapons, you have them. Use them. So you can set your mind on the things above and not on the things of the earth. You got some problems? Pray in tongues. Pray in the Spirit. Say, well, I don't know, you know, somebody said that's for whatever. Just forget what other Benjamin said. Read the Bible.
Amen.
If you don't have it yet, get it. It's yours. It belongs to you. It's part of your heritage as a believer in Jesus Christ. Just be bold and start speaking it out. You know, you speak it in your sleep, if you nothing else. Scream it out in your car when nobody's listening. I don't. Whatever you have to do, get it.
Amen.
Be filled with the Spirit. Just press in. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's about believe, asking God for the Spirit, believing that you receive it, and walking in it. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. So that's another teaching. Secondly, the second thing is after you set your mind on the things above, you have to kill the flesh. You know what? We live in a flesh body.
Yeah.
And the flesh body is like a crybaby. I want my chocolate. Give me some milk. You know, it's just incredible, you know, what the flesh will do.
Yes.
You know, it's like some days are just like that, you know. It's just flesh day, okay? All right, so the Bible says kill the flesh, right? You get that? But it's fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, idolatry. All of those things belong to what brings the wrath of God. So you left that stuff behind when you became a new creation in Him. Amen?
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that your flesh is dead. You have to kill it daily. The Bible says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. So keep crucifying the flesh with its affections and lusts, and you can walk in the Spirit. Amen? Okay, is it easy?
No.
No. I'm sorry, sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's easier than other times.
Right.
Sometimes you have friends around you who will help you kill your flesh. That's right. That's part of being a disciple and being discipled, just to be able to receive admonition, you know, sometimes correction, rebuke,
right,
reproof, and all those things that Pastor Don talks about all the time. You know, sometimes we need that stuff, okay?
Yes.
And it helps us to kill the flesh.
Yes.
But whatever it takes to kill the flesh, do it.
Yes.
Amen? Third thing, there's some things that you have to put off, and there's some things that you have to put on. Verse 9 says, don't lie to one another. It's a good idea, right? Because you know who the father of lies is, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So don't lie to one another. But then it says, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. So what does that say? It says that the responsibility for this is not God's. You know, sometimes we just want magic. Pastor, pray for me so that all this stuff goes away.
Yes.
And pastor prays for you and nothing happens. You know, sometimes you can carry people with your faith. And I'm not super spiritual. I'm not super pastor or anything like that. I've seen God do miracles for people when I've prayed for them. But most often, God does things in people's lives when they engage. If you're not willing to put off some stuff, I can lay hands on you and rub you till you're bald.
Please don't. Yes, I don't want to go bald.
But if you're not going to engage,
right,
and you're not going to do some things for yourself, I'm sorry, I can't help you.
Right.
God can help you. Your brothers and sisters can help you by encouraging you. I can help you by encouraging you, perhaps. But get a hold of the Word of God for yourself.
Amen.
And when pastor prays for you or some other brother and sister prays for you, lays hands on you, just say, I believe, I receive in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Fear, doubt, and unbelief, go now by the blood of Jesus and by the power of Jesus' name. And just be saying inside, I receive, I receive, I receive. And even if it looks, even it gets worse the next day, I believed, I received, and I now have the blessing of God in my life.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, you have to put off some things, but you have to put on some things. Verse 10 says, put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Put on the new man. That means you put it on. God's not going to dress you every morning. And if you're waking up in the morning and saying, God, what should I put on? You know, you maybe need help more than what you think. Because some things he thinks you're responsible for. Amen? There's some things you don't have to ask God about. I mean, he's already said it in his word 1,000 times, so just do it. The Bible said, blessed are they that hear the word of God and do it. So,
Yes. So
I will make a confession. I have not done this stuff perfectly. You know, we've been in ministry since 1980, more or less continuous basis. And I have not done this stuff perfectly. There have been times when I've fallen. There have been times when I've had to get up. There have been times when I've backslid. There have been times when I've not done the right things and made wrong choices and said wrong stuff and did wrong stuff. But if you stay in that place, woe is you. Because Jesus died to set you free from that.
Amen.
And I apologize to you that I have not done this perfectly. Because, you know, those of us who are in teachers and are in the ministry, we're held to a higher standard, the Bible says. And I recognize that. And I have failed that probably a lot of times. Not probably, I failed that a lot of times. I just confess that. But God is good. And God is faithful. And I refuse to stay in that place.
Amen.
Because the blood of Jesus is great.
Yes.
Greater than any sin that I sinned, greater than anything that I've done. And but I am sorry. I mean, there's no excuse for any of this. When you get into the flesh, there's no excuse for it. I'm sorry, there's no excuse. So when that happens, you own up to it and just say, okay, thank you, Jesus. You paid the price for this. I don't have to live this way.
Amen.
And then the Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Amen?
Amen.
So that's one of the keys to making that work about putting on. He says, put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where everybody's equal. Amen? If God's impartial, he'll make this work for you if you do it. Praise the Lord. So I want to go on because there's a little more in this chapter. I'll try to make it quick. Verse 12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies and kindness and humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. This is maybe a continuation a little bit of the last things that we were talking about. Just back up to where I was before. About setting your mind, killing the flesh, putting off, putting on. If you can instill these kinds of things into your disciples, those people that you're ministering to, the people that you're discipling, if you can put this into people, you will have the foundation for disciple makers. That's the kind of the point of what we're making of how to make disciples in this post-COVID era. If you teach people to set their minds on the things above, to kill the flesh, to put off what they need to put off and put on what they need to put on, you have a disciple maker in the process. And that's all Jesus has called us to do. That's the main thing he's called us to do. Amen? Okay, so going back on and talking about these character things, as the elect of God, we're supposed to put on all of those things. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. You know, we're supposed to follow after Christ. He's our model. He's our example. Somebody around you may fall. A person who's making a disciple or discipling you may make some mistakes, screw up, fall, hurt themselves, have to get up, dust themselves off. But Jesus is perfect. And if you're following Jesus, you can do this. If you're following Jesus as the elect of God, you can forgive like Him. And you have to do that. Verse 14, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. That's important. Verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You know, we could teach all day on just these few things, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wow. I mean, and there's so much in there that I couldn't possibly cover it today. But here's a couple of things, maybe six or seven things.
Amen.
First one, be holy and beloved. That's what we're called to do. What do you mean holy? Does that mean perfect? No, it doesn't mean perfect. It means set apart for God. Be set apart for God and be beloved. You are the beloved in Him. You are beloved in Him. Because of Jesus, He loves us. He reconciled us to the Father. He presented us holy, blameless, without reproach in His sight. Amen? Praise the Lord. So be holy and be beloved. Second, forgive one another. Man, the biggest thing that keeps people from getting miracles from God is unforgiveness. If you can forgive the people around you, you can get a miracle from God just like that. But if you hold stuff, hold grudges, hold bitterness, keep storing up the stuff and keep stacking it up, you know, you relive it every day. Whatever happened to you, whatever they did to you, whatever he did to you, whatever she did to you, you live it night after night after night after day after day after day. And God can't get through that till you just say, I give up, I forgive. Jesus forgave me, I forgive you. I forgive them, I forgive him. Well, you say, well, maybe they're dead. Forgive them anyway. Mm-hmm. For your sake. You say, well, maybe they don't receive my forgiveness. It's not your problem.
Right.
Your problem is to forgive.
Yes.
Their problem is to receive. If they don't receive it, you're off the hook.
Yes.
Amen. Just forgive them. Okay.
Amen.
So forgive one another. Next thing, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Mm-hmm. You know, love covers a multitude of sin, the Bible says. And the Bible says He is love, and His love is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. So you've got it in you if you're saved. If you're really born again and a follower of Christ, you have His love. The question is are you going to put on love, which is the bond of perfection? Are you going to put it on every day? It's available to you. You can have it. It lives inside of you. You can let it flow out of you. It's your choice. Now, next thing, let the peace of God rule in your hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a big one. You got to check in your spirit about something. Don't follow it. I mean, you know, that's the Holy Spirit saying you don't do that. You say, well, everybody else is doing it. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Well, it's not a bad thing. It doesn't matter if it's a bad thing.
Right.
You got to check in your spirit. It's God taking the peace out of your heart and saying, for you, don't do.
Mm-hmm.
Others may, but you can't.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen?
Yes.
Because God knows what's good for you. He knows what's good for me. I maybe can't do some things again. Maybe, you know, Pastor Karen and I don't often go to movie theaters. We have broken that rule sometimes, but there's all kinds of stuff in those theaters. And, you know, they see Pastor going in there and they'd say, well, look, he went to see that X-rated film or whatever. You say, well, it doesn't matter what other people think. You know, if you went to a nice family movie, okay, others may, but I'm sorry, I can't. All right? Is that all right?
Praise the Lord.
So, I mean, there's worse things that you can do in secret and whatever. I understand that, and I've done them. But repent. Get up and do the right thing. Amen?
That's right. Praise the Lord.
Repent and get up and do the right thing.
Amen.
Let the peace of God rule in your heart.
Yes.
You know, when you have peace inside, it doesn't matter what other people think, don't think, whatever. They're not thinking about you anyway. Next thing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Cannot be emphasized more. Meditate in the word day and night. The Bible says you'll make your way prosperous. You'll have good success. It's in Joshua 1, 8 and 9. You can find it there. Psalm 1. You'll be like the tree that's planted by the river of water. Brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf will not wither. Whatever you do will prosper. You want to prosper? Get in the word.
Amen.
Let it dwell in you richly. There's some other parts to that too, but next thing is whatever you do in word and deed. This is really important because those of you who are in the workplace, man, whatever you do in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You're not there to serve people. You're there to serve God.
Amen.
And whatever you do and how you do your job and the attitude that you have and the anointing that you carry, it'll either bless people and lift them up, or they'll say, yeah, she says she's a Christian, he says he's a Christian, but look, look. You know, the world outside there, they say they think you're all hypocrites anyway, so I mean, just forget about that. Just say, look, I'm here to serve Jesus, and I'm doing my job. If it makes you look bad, it's your problem. I'm going to do my job well. I'm going to be a blessing to this company. This company is paying me to do a job. I'm doing this if I'm working for Jesus, because I am working for Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. And finally, the last thing in there, is, I mean, again, there's more stuff in here, but be thankful.
Amen.
My God, be thankful. We live in such an unthankful generation. I was grumbling this morning because that sandwich was like, I don't remember what I called it. It wasn't Pastor Karen that made it, so it's all right. It was a restaurant. But I'm thankful for that sandwich. Hallelujah. Bless the people, the young man that made it, the young millennial that had an attitude that made it. Bless him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Forgive me for my attitude. Be thankful. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, all of those things that I just listed, be holy, beloved, forgive one another, put on love, let peace of God rule in your heart, let the word of Christ dwell in you, which you, whatever you do in word and deed, do it as if for Jesus, and be thankful. This is what true followers of Christ look like. This is what disciples look like. So if you want to know what it means to be a good disciple or a good disciple maker, just look at those things and measure your life by those things. Because, you know, those things are what people around you see. They're not just thinking, you know, she's this way, he's this way, or whatever. They're looking at these things, and when they see those things in you, and they see that you're consistent in those things, then you just might have an opportunity to make a disciple. Amen? But if they don't see those things in you, they're just going to come to the same conclusion that a lot of people do. All Christians are just like this. They say this, they say they believe this, they live this way, other way, some other way. So you have to be serious about this, because your job is to make disciples and make disciple makers. That's what Jesus said. And if you're here to do something else, you know, maybe this is a wrong church for you. I'm sorry. I mean, I love you. I welcome you. You can come and be in the meetings, do whatever you want to do. We won't kick you out. We're not going to excommunicate you and shun you. But we're serious about that people need to make disciples and raise up disciple makers. We're serious about that. We're striving to find out what God's way to do that is with new wine in new wineskins. Mm-hmm. So we ask you, pray with us, believe God with us, ask God for guidance with us, help us, engage, be part of the process. Yes, I know you can witness to people outside, you know, in your job and whatever, and make disciples on the line and all those kind of things, and you should do that. But there are some things we need to do together as a church and as a church family, because God has called us to be that. He's called us to model that. And he's called us to be intentional about that. So that's why we're talking about these things. You know, this might not be the most feel-good kind of message, and I probably already talked too long, but this is what followers of Christ look like. This is a platform for raising disciple makers, the thing that Jesus told us to do. Okay, the final thing in this chapter, it's the title in the New King James Version is the Christian home. So, so this is what it says. It says, wives, submit to your own husbands, not somebody else's, but yours, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. You know, there's so much of that going on. Bitterness and stuff going on in families and relationships. It's got to stop.
Amen.
Especially amongst believers. There's no place for that. Husbands, love your wives. Don't be bitter towards them. I can attest I've been bitter towards Pastor Karen sometimes, but I've had to repent. I don't think she's ever been bitter against me, but it's her business. If she wants to make that confession, she can do that. But I don't think she has. She's stuck with me for 50 years. My goodness. Anybody that's done that, they deserve a medal. A medal of honor. Lots of gold stars. Because I know I'm not easy to live with. You know, I know what my faults are. I know what my weaknesses are. And I recognize, you know, she's been really, really gracious. All these years she's been gracious. It's been a blessing. It's been wonderful. So, children, obey your parents in all things. You've got some kids here in the service. I know it's tough to obey mom and dad. But, you know, the Bible says that when you obey your parents, it'll be well with you.
Amen.
And you'll live long on the earth. That's God's promise to you. So, even when you think mom and dad are yelling at you, I know yours probably don't yell at you. Even when it seems like they're yelling at you, even if it seems like they're being too hard on you, just remember, when you obey them, it'll be well with you. God's promising you that.
Amen.
And you'll live a long time on this earth.
Yes.
And you'll be raised up to be good parents yourself.
Yes.
Because you've had parents that have corrected you, parents that love you, and that care enough about you to be stern with you when they need to be stern, to be loving towards you when they need to cry with you and love you. That's why God gave us parents. And you've got a good life ahead with ahead of you, kids. I know there's some stuff ahead that maybe we wish you wouldn't have to go through.
Yes.
But God is equipping you. He's making you ready. And it starts with your home and being obedient to your parents.
Amen.
Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. It's so important for those of us who are fathers, fathering our family, our church family, our spiritual family, that we're not provoking people and discouraging people, that we're lifting people up. The Bible says we should lift one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. It's the law of love. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. This is talking about the workplace. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for all the wrong that he has done, and there's no partiality. Wow. We've already talked about that a little bit. You know, we're here to serve God. Amen? So why don't you stand to your feet? I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray for those on Facebook Live. And again, I know that I've gone maybe a little bit over time this morning. But these are really, really important things, and we live in a really, really important time. We live in an important time when we need to really serve Jesus with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. We need to repent of those things that we need to repent of. We need to go forward in the things of God and in the power of God and in the blessing of God. We need to have that peace of God that surpasses understanding, that keeps our heart and mind by Christ Jesus. We need to have His grace and His peace flowing in our lives like never before. So let's pray. Father, I just pray for, first of all, for those on Facebook Live that are watching us today and those that are listening by podcast. I ask You, Father God, to minister in their lives in a powerful way. Father, I hope that the words that I shared from them from Colossians, Lord, will be an encouragement and an inspiration to them, but not just an inspiration. Father, we can get inspired and leave inspired, but not do anything to change our lives. But Your word says, Father, that we are blessed when we hear the word of God and keep it, when we're doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves, Lord. So I ask You, Lord, to give each of these people, everyone that's watching, everyone under the sound of my voice, everyone here in the sanctuary, I ask You, Lord, to give us courage to conquer every obstacle that would come in between us and the things that we've learned this morning. And Lord, above all, I ask You to perfect our walk and to show us how to be the disciple makers and make disciple makers that You desire to see for our generation, for this next generation coming up and the one following it, Lord. Father, that we don't just be a flash in the pan and we're gone and then nothing. But Father, that we leave something behind for generation after generation after generation, Lord, so that they can live for You, so that they can love You, and so that they can serve You. And Father, I'm mindful for the many people who live in lands where it's more difficult to serve You. Lands like Cuba, lands like China, Father God, Communist China, Iran, Afghanistan. Places where the gospel is exploding and men and women are coming to You by the hundreds of thousands. And they're serving You with all their heart. They're laying down everything for You, Lord. And here we've had it so easy, Lord. I ask You to forgive us, Lord, for taking things for granted. I ask You, Lord, to forgive us for not praying for these brothers and sisters, Lord, and pleading, Lord, for them, on standing in the gap for them, Lord. I ask You, Father God, that You put Your hand of protection over them, that You will guide them, direct them, that You will give them provision that's supernatural, Lord, where it's hard and tough and difficult, Lord. And where many times they're being persecuted by withholding these things that they need for their lives, for their families, for their homes, Lord. I ask You, Lord, for the healing power of Jesus to flow over them. Yes. For the love that You have for them, Lord, to overflow on them. And Father, that You will give them supernatural peace in the middle of the storm. And Father, that when they heat up the fiery furnace for them, Lord, that You will stand in the furnace with them, Lord.
Thank You.
And bring them out. Unscathed, unsinged, unhurt, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
And finally, Father, I pray for those that are watching, those that are listening, those here that are struggling with illness or sickness of any kind. Sickness, I rebuke you by the blood of Jesus and in the power of Jesus' name. Healing, I release You to flow over them now in Jesus' name. Lift them up of this bed of sickness, Father. In Jesus' name. Donna, if you're watching, be healed now in the name of Jesus. Be restored in the name of Jesus. Be restored by the mighty power of God. Janice, if you're watching, be restored in the name of Jesus and by the power of the blood of Jesus. The curse of this thing come off of you in Jesus' name. Be free now by the blood and by the power of Jesus' name. Father, those that are engulfed with fears of many kinds, Father, including this COVID stuff going around, fear, I rebuke you by the blood of Jesus. The Lord rebuke you. Get off of them now in Jesus' name. Father, your word says that the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. So rise up in the boldness of the Lord Jesus Christ and defeat that challenge in your life, a challenge of fear. Lying devils, by the blood of Jesus, we shut your mouth. In Jesus' name, we cancel every witchcraft, satanic, occult, curse and assignment, every demonic assignment in Jesus' name against this church family and against those who are partaking with us, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, let your blessing flow. Let your peace flow. Let your healing flow. Let your anointing flow and destroy the yokes and lift the burdens, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Victory now in the name of Jesus. And by the power of his blood.
Yes.
And for it, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Just one final thing, you know, there's a great book in the Bible. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's the story when the enemies of God's people surrounded them with armies, were going to annihilate them, and they sought God. The little ones, the children, the animals, everybody was fasting, praying, seeking God. And God spoke through the mouth of a prophet. And through the mouth of a prophet, he brought a word that said, the battle is mine and not yours.
Yes, thank
you. And out of that, they made some decisions. They made some decisions to send the praisers out in front of the army.
Hallelujah.
Not a very usual thing to do. But the Bible says that when they got out to where the enemy was, the enemy had destroyed each other.
Yes.
And all they had to do is pick up the loot. Mm-hmm. Took them 3 days to carry all that loot back to Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
It was an amazing time. I encourage you to get into that chapter and apply it to your life. The principles in there, they're clear. Seeking God, hearing the voice of God, following that voice, innovative, creative response to that voice. It's amazing, amazing, amazing. You can have that kind of victory. You can have it today. So just take it and run. So as my pastor used to say, feed your faith, starve your doubts to death. Just let them die. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.